Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to dismiss our children to Children's Church at this time. Thank God for Children's Church. Amen, amen. Glory to God. When our kids were small, they used to sleep under the pew on Sunday night. I don't remember which one, but I remember getting all the way home and forgetting our kid under the pew. But he was in a safe, or she was in a safe place. I don't know which one. Glory to God. Amen. I'd like to turn your attention to Leviticus, one of those books for light reading. Leviticus, the 17th chapter. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know information is power? The last thing the enemy of your soul wants is for you to understand this book. The more confused he can make you, the further you are from getting to God. So Leviticus, the 17th chapter, verse number 10, it says, "And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off from among the people." So there were certain things that Israel couldn't eat. In fact, you know, God doesn't forbid us from eating anything in the New Testament except blood, because that's where the life is. There are certain, people who will have duck blood soup and blood sausage and all of that kind of thing. I never, ever had the occasion or desire for any of that. But God's saying, you know, the life is in the blood. Verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." So he separates the blood from anything else. And then if you'll turn to Psalms 51, you know, David committed adultery and then murder, and yet we find in Acts, the 13th chapter, that God says David was a man after his own heart. And it was because of the great mercy and love of God, but it was because David presented himself in repentance to God. Amen. Verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me." Now, church, God said that if we would confess our sins, that he would not only forgive us, but he would forget them. But the problem we have in this equation is we never forget our problems. And you can have years of regret, put your head on a pillow, and still never be able to sleep because of something that you've done and you remember. But if you can get some release from that tonight, because you know that God has separated you from your sins. Amen. Glory to God. Ephesians, the first chapter. Verse number 7. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Then the last scripture in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse number 16. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." That's what he's done for us. and their sin and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Calvary did it all for us, folks. We don't have to ask God, beg God, but all we have to do is confess to God. And the Bible says that he will not only forgive us, but he will no more remember our sins. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our conscience sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And that's why tonight, every one of us can walk to this altar with full assurance that God loves us and he's going to take care of us. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would anoint it and bless it and touch it. And God, let it accomplish exactly what you have set it out to accomplish. Bless it as only you can. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Leviticus 17 and 11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon an altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Now, God tells us in Leviticus, thousands of years before medical professionals knew, that the life is in the blood. Take the blood and you take the life. And many lives have been taken because they lost their blood. And that's why it took the blood of Jesus to bring us new life, because we couldn't do it by our own sacrifice. Now here in Leviticus 17, it tells us that the blood of an animal as a sacrifice was given on an altar to make an atonement for the souls in the Old Testament. The word atonement is used 69 times in the Old Testament, atonement. The word atonement is never used in the New Testament, just in the Old Testament. And the Hebrew definition for atonement is to cover up or to appease. So all of the sacrifices that were given in the Old Testament, all of the sheep and all of the oxen, all of the turtle doves, all the blood that was shed, the gallons and gallons and gallons of blood, wasn't to eradicate the people's sin, but it was to cover up or to appease God until there could be the blood of Calvary that could now end it all, you see. All the blood that was shed in the Old Testament by sacrificing these animals was for one purpose, to cover up the sins of man and to appease God's wrath against that sin. And they would do that year after year after year. And the high priest would go into the holiest of holies and they would pour the blood of the sacrifice over the mercy seat. And when God saw the blood on the mercy seat, which contained the law of God, which they were in violation, his wrath would be appeased for another year and roll back. We're not going to have judgment today because I saw the blood. Yet it never released them from the penalty of the sin. It just postponed the judgment until Jesus came to eradicate that sin. Then Calvary took care of all of the past sin of those under the atonement and future sin of those who are baptized in Jesus' name. Now, there's been confusion sometimes, even with people who have truth, as to what about David and what about Moses and what about Jacob? You know, I've heard people say, well, they're going to inherit the new earth. No, I don't believe that. I believe that they're going to go to heaven. And the reason I know they're going to go to heaven is because there was a cover-up, there was appeasing of God's judgment on them that came all the way up to Calvary. And now Calvary has eradicated the sin not only of us, but all those who have been in the past. Thank God for that blood. Tankers and tankers and tankers of blood that was shed in order to postpone the judgment. But when the first blood of Jesus fell to the ground at Calvary, the angel screamed, "It's enough!" Now the word remission is found 10 times in the Bible, and it's only found in the New Testament. After the shedding of our Savior's blood. The Greek definition for remission is to pardon, to release a person from punishment, or exempt them from any kind of penalty. And of course, we hold on to Acts 2 and 38. Anybody know where that is? Let's turn to it. Glory to God. Don't get non-Pentecostal on me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, Peter preaches his first message, and is probably his best, unlike everybody after that. Verse 37, after he preaches the message, says, "You are the ones who are responsible for the death of Jesus." 37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" Oh, if more people would simply ask, "What shall I do? I've got a bad conscience. I don't have freedom. I don't have peace in my life. I don't have contentment in my life." If they would only say, what shall I do? Rather than somehow covering up their sin and saying, "I'm all right, you're all right." Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call." Remission of sins, to release a person from punishment or exempt them from a penalty. That's what God is saying. If you're baptized in Jesus' name, it releases you from that punishment and exempts you from any kind of penalty. And it was the washing away of our sins, not just a cover up, like Acts 22 and 16 says. I said last Wednesday, I drive by this church, local church in the area all the time, and I have a tendency to look at their marquee, and they have little catchy statements on it. And last week as I drove by, I saw that they said, "Baptism is for the remission of sins and washing away your sins." Acts 2 and 38, Acts 22 and 16. I just wanted to run in and hug the pastor. I don't know who he is, and I'm not sure if he understands who Jesus is or how to baptize, but I know he's got one principle down right, and it is for the washing away of our sins. Glory to God. God not only forgave us, but he forgot our sins because they were no more. Years ago, I remember preaching a message on repentance, and some of you were here, and I had a gas fire pit here. I lit it, had flames about this high, and I wrote down some things that perhaps I needed to confess to God, and I put them in the fire, and it just kind of went away. Where are they? What we have to understand is when we confess our sins, they are no more. They're gone. They are eradicated. Hallelujah. All guilt is gone because it wasn't just a cover-up, but it was a complete release and eradication of what we have done. Amen. Every one of us, I don't care how long you've been in the church, you need to understand that. Otherwise, you're going to find that the enemy of your soul is going to put a guilt trip on you one day or another. I heard on the radio about a parking ticket that was paid in Kenosha that was from 1987. You see, you can hide the ticket or try to put it out of your mind, but until the penalty is paid, there is no clear conscience. And that's what God wants us to have, a clear conscience. He wants you to be able to walk into this place knowing that God has fully accepted you and loves you.
Amen.
And some of you have some problems with that. As I baptize people, I tell them, you know what, God has longed to put his arms around you and have an intimate relationship with you, but there's sin that prevents him from doing that. But once you're baptized in his name, he doesn't see our righteousness, he sees his righteousness, and now he can come as close as he wants to you. We're a privileged people. We can get as close to God as we want because of the blood of Calvary that's been applied to our lives. In the Old Testament, sin was not appeased or dealt with. There was just a postponement of the penalty for 4,000 years. People didn't have a freedom from sin, but a ticket that was unpaid, a ticket that was in the glove compartment. But when Jesus died for our sins, it wasn't for a cover-up. It was for a complete pardon and release from the punishment, and he took care of our ticket.
Amen.
And with the remission of sins came the clear conscience.
Amen.
I can't overemphasize how important it is to have a clear conscience. Nothing will give you more freedom.
Amen.
Nothing will give you more peace than a clear conscience. And when you know you have gone before the Lord and said, God, you know what? I've messed up, but I'm asking you for forgiveness. And know assuredly that God said, okay, they are no more. I've eradicated them because the blood of Calvary still is fresh today as it was 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. Then you can have that clear conscience. And if you have that clear conscience, then you can boldly come to the throne of grace and say, God, I need a healing. God, I need protection. God, I need deliverance. God, I want you to act on behalf of my loved ones, you see, so we can enjoy the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ for the whole reason that he came to this earth. If you don't have that clear conscience, you'll never enjoy your relationship with God because you're always wondering if God is angry at you. I've said this a number of times, but back in 93, we helped tear down a church in East Troy. It was a Catholic church that lost its exempt status because they weren't having church there. It was a seminary, and nobody was going, and so we took a lot of marble out. In fact, the marble behind our baptism is from that church and some other marble that we've used in the church, and they offered us the stained glass windows, and they were absolutely gorgeous. They were twice as big as the ones we just put in, but there was an apostle in each one of those, and there was this angry look. You know, like, we're going to get you. You know, that's not the way God operates. It's open arms. He's the God of a second chance. Hallelujah. Would you turn to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter? You know, many times when I'm putting together a message, I'm intimidated. The reason I'm intimidated is because I use some of the same scriptures over and over again, but they're profound in nature. And you have to also realize that not every one of us that are here have been sitting in a pew for 10 or 20 years. Everybody ought to know what this word says. Tonight we sang some songs that we've sung last week, and the week before, and the week before. But you know what? We need to hear the word of God over and over and over again. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 3 and 21 says, "A like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So baptism does now also save us. Well, how does it save us? It eliminates the sin in our life. It eradicates it. God not only washes it away, but he doesn't remember any longer. And therefore, if you have that principle in your mind, you have a good conscience towards God. I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, you know, I've done some things that I'm not very comfortable with. I'm wondering if you could rebaptize me. And I've always refused, because you don't need to be rebaptized. All you need to do is confess your sins. Glory to God. Would you turn to 1 John? First John 1. Verse number 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, this is written to the church. It's not written to people who have never experienced salvation. Verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, this is one of the greatest scriptures in the entire Bible. Why? Because we don't all live perfect lives. From time to time, we're always going to stumble, and we need assurance. We have to have a clear conscience that God is there in order to forgive us and cleanse us of all of our sins. Otherwise, we come in here wondering, does God really love me, or can I really have the authority to walk up here? Can I raise my hands and worship God even though I haven't got a pristine life? Amen. Yes, you can. Amen. If you'll simply confess, God will cleanse, and now we have a clear conscience again. Jesus said in the Great Commission before he ascended into heaven in Luke 24 and 47, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Most people don't really understand the true meaning of remission. It's not just forgiveness. And there are even versions of the Bible that change the word remission to forgiveness. You can forgive someone and yet have to pay the price or the penalty for what you did. So I forgive you, but I'm sorry, you're still going to have to pay the consequences. But what God is saying, not only do I forgive you, but there are no consequences for what you have done. Amen. Get me under the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. The Kenosha Police Department didn't have a SWAT team go looking for this guy. You know, at least I don't think so. But he needed to be released from his bad conscience. And wonder how many people walk into a place like this with some kind of baggage, and they're thinking, you know what, all of these people are living a great life for God, but they don't know what I've done. See? And that kind of thinking separates them from the body of Christ, and they need to have the information that he's a God of a second chance, and a third chance, and a fourth chance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We don't need to walk around full of guilt for what happened years ago, waiting for judgment to fall, expecting God will change his mind. Take a look at Romans, the third chapter. Romans 3 and 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation or an atonement through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." So thank God for the blood that still washes white as snow. So here we see that everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we are justified or made innocent through his blood, and Jesus has become our propitiation or atonement or cover, the Greek said, as the lid of the Ark of the Covenant has covered the transgressions of the people. So what he has done is he's put a covering or a lid on our transgressions that no one sees them. Aren't you glad that God doesn't publicize all of your shortcomings?
Amen.
Come to church and there's a bulletin board that God just puts up your names on it with all of the things that you have done. Wouldn't it be great if all people were like God?
Amen.
That didn't publicize your shortcomings? But don't we have a tendency to say, well, I know something about brother or sister, and let me, you know, because I want you to pray for them. I want you to know all of this garbage. We don't have such a ministry in this church, folks. Glory to God. So Jesus is both atonement, according to this, and remission of sins through faith in his blood. Glory to God. Take a look at Leviticus, the 16th chapter. Leviticus chapter 16 and starting in verse number 15. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullocks, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions in all their sins, and so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. Glory to God. Then 1 John, the 4th chapter. First John chapter 4 and verse number 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. To cover it up,
amen.
To eradicate it. Amen. That's really the love. That's the whole story of God.
Amen.
Loving us so much that he would die for us and eradicate all of the guilt that is upon us. Jesus said in Matthew 26 and 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Not just the forgiveness, but the eradication of all sin. This is one of the greatest principles, if not the greatest principle in the Bible, that we can be free. Glory to God. Well, officer, I didn't see the sign. Too bad. There's a ticket. In my ignorance, I did these things before I knew God. Well, we have forgiveness. Some years ago, I was driving down, I think it was Highway 20, and I remembered I had to go back to the church for something, and so I got to an intersection, and I made a U-turn, and there was a Racine sheriff on the corner, and I didn't realize that you couldn't make a U-turn in this particular intersection. And so I kept driving down the road, and all of a sudden these flashing lights appeared. I thought it was Christmas. And isn't it amazing that you can drive by an accident and some people are injured badly and there's an ambulance and you can just look and you can drive on. But when there's red lights behind your car, all of a sudden your heart starts pounding. So I pulled over, and the sheriff came up to the car and said, you realize what you have done? And I said, no, sir, I didn't. And I try to do what my daughter does. She just bursts into tears, but it just... just couldn't get them out, you know? And so he said, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to church. Now, this is in the middle of the week. And he probably didn't believe me, you know. And he said, well, what are you going to church for? And I said, well, I'm the pastor of the church. And he said, well, if God could forgive me, I guess I could forgive you. Hallelujah. And so... Mercy, 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 you know. There's every one of us have fallen short in one area or another. Some by commission and some by omission, but nevertheless we're just as guilty, and God needs to take care of those things. So where does this application of blood take place? And that's really the question that a lot of churches have. It's not by shaking my hand. It's not by admitting that Jesus is Savior. There has to be a place where the blood is applied. So we are all no longer under the penalty of sin and have a good conscience. Well, the Bible says that as we're baptized in the name of Jesus, it's for the remission of sins, forgiveness, eradication, the washing away of our sins. Glory to God. And I'm grateful for that. Take a look at Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Verse 22. It says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no forgiveness. There's no eradication. There's no washing away. And so it has to be by the blood. Chapter 10 of Hebrews and verse number 16. We've read down to 22. Verse 20. 2 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, the perfect example of this is in the tabernacle plan, and when the high priest would sacrifice the lamb, he would do that and his hands would be full of blood, and God ordered him to wash himself in the brazen laver. And undoubtedly, that water became red with the blood of the sacrifice. The same is true today. The blood of Christ is applied to us in the water of baptism. And we can come out of that water with full assurance and a good conscience that not only did God forgive our sins, but he has forgotten our sins. Hallelujah. When the blood of Jesus is applied to us in baptism, there is now no more need for an offering for sin. 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is talking about after we've been baptized, and perhaps we stumble, perhaps we mess up, we have an advocate with the Father. In Hebrews 10 and 17, it said, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Iniquity means any violation of law, so God, through Calvary, is our atonement to cover, remission for pardon and penalty, but he is also the one who forgets. I don't know how God does that. I remember every little infraction that I've ever had in my entire life, and most likely you do. there is no sense in talking to somebody else about what used to be in your life. Don't do it, folks. Oh, I remember when I... No. Don't do it, folks. If God has forgotten, if God has covered up, don't you dare bring it up again. There's no glory to be given. And I've had people, feel that they're ministering because they're going to tell everybody how bad they were and now God delivered. That's not a testimony. Hallelujah. Therefore, we now can draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure blood. Someone paid my ticket, and his name is Jesus. Now, it would be foolish to bring up a past that God has forgotten. The very purpose for God coming into the world was to cover our sins and eradicate it. And Romans 4:7 says, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Turn to Psalms 32. Psalms 32 and verse number 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Hallelujah. That word blessed means happy. I'm happy that I'm forgiven. I'm happy that my sins are covered. I'm happy I have free access to God. Amen. Glory to God. You know, there are dignitaries and famous people that you don't have access to because you're not in their inner circle. But you know what? God's inner circle is pretty big. Amen. All those who have been baptized in his name. Since God's purpose for coming was to cover our sins and release us from an evil conscience, it stands reason that the enemy of our soul wants to uncover the sins and cause people to have a guilty conscience. So his whole purpose, his whole plan is this, is to somehow get you feeling guilty about your walk with God. And he's told many, most like everyone in here, that, you know, well, you did it now. God will never forgive you. How dare you think you can even come to church? That's his whole purpose. Uncover it. Bring it up. You know, I used to see a psychiatrist every week, and I really thought I was helping him for a while. We would play tennis together, Dr. Tomkiewicz, and we'd talk about the things of God, and he'd try to dismiss them, you know. But he had been taught in school that the only way that people could get peace was to dig up their past and blame it on somebody, you know? It was your mother's fault, your father's fault. It was somebody in your, you know, your past that has caused you to be a nutcase. And so, most of us could point to one person. And we have to take blame for it. And if you don't take stock and responsibility for your problems, you can never hand them off to God. You know? Because why should I repent when it was my mother's fault? The Bible tells us that the devil is the prince of the airs. Ever notice how the media always tries to dig up dirt? To uncover that which is wrong. Heaven forbid that the church should talk about the transgressions of people in the body. I really believe, folks, I believe that God gets very angry with somebody who talks about some transgression that is in the body, and you do not know whether or not that person has confessed and God has covered and God has forgotten, and then you do the opposite of what God wants. How dare we? When God was preparing Peter to give the message to the Gentiles. It said in Acts 10 and 15, the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common or irreverent. God has sacrificed his life to cover up. His whole purpose is to cover up, and yet there are people who determine that they have a ministry to uncover the things that God has already covered. Who are we to dig up what God has covered? All of the church is really a big cover-up. That's all. That's all we are. Sinners covered in blood. If we fall, he keeps covering up. Do you know why? Because he's God. Amen. And he loves us more than you can imagine. Now, sometimes I'm hesitant to discipline your kids. And the reason I am is because you will make every excuse there is for your kids, but not for your neighbor's kids. And why is that? It's because you love your kids more than you love your neighbor's kids. And you have a tendency to make a soft spot for them. Well, God's like that. We are his kids. We are a child of the King, and God is going to somehow protect. He's always going to cover up for any indiscretions that we have. When people started to bring up what God has buried, they're subject to a spiritual death. There was a time when the Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines, and finally they decided there's no good thing that would happen with the Ark of the Covenant in their possession. Dagon fell over, broke his arm, broke his leg, and they figured, it's time to send it back, you know. Don't you be playing with God if you really don't want God. And so they had it for 7 months, and then they decided to bring it back, and they put it on a cart and had heifers pull it back. They said, get out of here. We're not taking it back. We'll just have a bunch of heifers take it back. And when the Ark of the Covenant came to Beth Shemite at a field where they were harvesting, that's us folks, the men there made an offering of the heifers using the wood from the cart. But their fatal mistake was to take off the covering and remove the mercy seat. And they looked into the Ark of the Lord. Big mistake. 1 Samuel 6 and 19 says, and he smote the men of Beth Shemite because they had looked into the Ark of the Lord, even he smote of the people 50,000 threescore and 10 men, and the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. Listen, what God covers, let no man uncover. You cannot. I don't ever want to uncover that which God has covered and he has forgotten, and you do not know where people are. Have they confessed? Amen. We can't judge people lest we will be judged. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Thank God for the blood. Yeah. Hallelujah. We need to preach more about the blood. We need to sing more about the blood. We need to pray the blood over people more. This is not old-fashioned. This is Bible. Glory to God. We're always afraid to mention the blood because it makes people squeamish. No, no. It is what has given me a good conscience and boldness to come before the throne of God. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. If you have this kind of knowledge, you can never get to the place where you feel guilty walking into the house of God. There are some perhaps who have never come back to church because they have fallen and they don't realize that there's a God with open arms waiting for them to come back, because he still died for you and he is a God of a second chance. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have something that you need to confess, tonight's a great night. You can walk out of here free. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?